Good evening. This is Mae Bressel. The name of this program is called World Watchers. It's program number 696, April the 8th, 1985. I got a letter from Dan Rather answering my very angry and provocative letter to him regarding the attempt to take over of CBS by Jesse Helms, and Helms will be able to take it over, he and his gang. It's just a matter of time. And I might have mentioned this on the air a few weeks ago. The letter I wrote to Rather had a reference to his going along with the Kennedy assassination, to describing John Kennedy's head as going forward, indicating the bullet would come from the Texas School Book Depository, as against Kennedy's head being thrown backwards, which would indicate the fatal bullet came from the grassy knoll. And I wrote to him that after playing all the games and playing with the fascists, he wasn't fascist enough, and that one way to stop Jesse Helms in the track, or to try and link him to some of his cohorts in North Carolina would be to investigate the formation of the special forces by Nazi agents that were sent to North Carolina. They were private armies under the direction of Frank Wiesner and Alan Dulles. And it was out of Frank Wiesner's office that Wesley Liebler took care of the Warren Commission part on the Belarusian Russians from Minsk, and the CIA agents working with Alan Dulles from the Central Intelligence Agency. And in 1981, broadcast number 512, I referred to Dr. Michael N. Acmetelli, A-C-H-M-E-T-E-L-I, and Dr. Franz Seeks and Dr. Emil Augsburg, who was head of Eichmann's Jewish problem, getting rid of the Jews in Europe. And now the Special Army was founded in 1952 by Eisenhower, who worked with the Dulles brothers, and these special forces became the nucleus of death squads and partaking in coups and trouble, destabilization around the world. And their origin with the Nazis was and is in North Carolina. And a year later, in November of 1982, I referred to a Washington Post article, Helpful Nazis Who Evaded Justice. And this goes into these same gentlemen and how they worked with William Colby and set up the Phoenix Program, the Nazis from Germany, and worked for Radio Liberty and Radio Free America as U.S. instructors, and were at Fort Holabird, where the Nazi medical and mind experiments began. And I also referred to the material of James Frankenberry, saying that the plans for killing John Kennedy and for shooting in General Walker's window were arranged in North Carolina, and suggested that maybe 60 Minutes or CBS could do a little bit about what's going on in North Carolina because of the relationship of these people to Jesse Helms. Well, I got a letter dated March the 8th, 1985 from Dan Rather. Dear Mrs. Bressel, this is simply to say, personally and directly, thank you for your words of support and encouragement. They are appreciated more than any short note can express. And so is your understanding that even while we sometimes make mistakes, the CBS Evening News is dedicated to accuracy and fairness. Please be assured we will continue to do our best to report the news without fear or favor and to be worthy of your confidence. Well, I didn't say that they were fair, and I didn't say they were accurate, and I also didn't say I had confidence in them. What I said was that there was something worse than them that was going to swallow them up, and that being inaccurate and being unfair in the news and carrying that Oswald did it alone on the 20th anniversary of Kennedy's assassination, that they were hiding Nazis and fascists who wouldn't like other things that they do, that they had protected the fascists, and that's why they were in trouble now. I will send them some material on this, some more material, and hopefully maybe 60 Minutes would go into the area of those Nazis from Germany and how they affected America by setting up these special teams that usurp the regular army and are sent out to places like Grenada to overthrow particular countries and go behind the lines to stir up trouble in these various countries. Now, the takeover of the news media and the attempted takeover and the merger is a very big story, and of course it affects all of us in many ways, and I'll just try and give you some articles and some examples. The San Francisco Chronicle had an article April the 4th, 1985, this past week. MCI Communications Corporation agreed that they would back cable news network Ted Turner in their hostile bid to take over CBS. MCI spokesman Gary Tobin said that there is no report, no truth to the New York Times report that said MCI has agreed to give Turner $50 million to help make the bid for CBS, but MCI did attend a meeting in New York with investment bankers, and the topic of CBS came up, and MCI officials left the meeting. They didn't make a commitment or reach an agreement, but the subject was brought up on how to help Ted Turner and Jesse Helms take over CBS. Meanwhile, former Treasury Secretary William Simon would not comment on the same report, which said that he agreed to back Ted Turner by giving him $50 million to help finance a hostile bid for CBS. Now, William Simon, of course, is a Knight of Malta, along with William Casey, and we'll get into the ABC takeover in 1 second. William Simon works closely with Hillionetics. He resigned from the board because of various stock scandals, but with Edward Teller and Daniel Graham of the Star Wars contracts, and also he was in charge of the Olympics this past year, working with Western Goals and John Singlaub and the Los Angeles Police Department, the computers into the police departments. Simon's name has come up many, many times regarding the inside secret government team. So it's interesting that Simon is part, with his links to Edward Teller and Western Goals and these various police state organizations that want to create the first strike offensive up through the Star Wars and down to the police recruitment and list of names from past computers and present computers, that he is linked directly and indirectly to all of this, that he is part of the bid to take over CBS for Jesse Helms and working with Ted Turner on that. Michael Novak, who's on CNN, a regular reporter now, replaced Thomas Buchanan, is another Knight of Malta, along with William Simon, and I've mentioned the others many times. But the CBS management has been fighting for its independence, and the latest person to get into this team to attack CBS happens to be none other than William Simon, the close buddy of J. Peter Grace and Claire Luce and Alexander Haig and the entire William Buckley, the whole Knight of Malta team, all wanting to take over CBS network at this time. It hasn't happened yet, but when you get William Simon and other elements being willing to put up the money, it's just a matter of days before that falls. But before CBS could fall, ABC went into the hands of none other than William Casey and the Central Intelligence Agency. And William Casey is a Knight of Malta also, so that would be two major networks in the hands of the Vatican agents whose oath is to the Vatican, to Rome, to the Roman Empire. Tuesday, March 19th, the New York Times had a long story. ABC is being sold for $3.5 billion. This is the first network sale, and the front page of the New York Times referred to capital cities buying ABC, and in big letters it says, little-known media company in a surprise takeover bid for broadcasting giant. Well, why should capital cities be little known when the truth is that our CIA director formed that in 1954 and he has kept it not in a blind trust but very active until this year? And along with the confirmation hearings of Casey, isn't it interesting that he has so much to do with communications and newscasting and that this has never been brought up until he and his company could gobble up an entire broadcasting station, ABC Broadcasting? I got a letter from a friend in Kansas who said, no wonder there's not much news in our paper, because it says that Mr. Casey's holdings in capital cities owns the Kansas City City Times and the Kansas City Star, and his holdings are worth about $7.5 million in capital cities. That article says the CIA chief offers to put capital cities stock into his blind trust. Here's the director of the CIA, who didn't want to put any of his stocks in blind trust. He goes ahead and they buy ABC, the station that Howard Hughes wanted to buy 20 years ago. And I'll make those connections to the Central Intelligence Agency in one moment. But here is Casey. Hughes wasn't a member of the Vatican or Knight of Malta, but Casey is And so his links to William Simon and his intent to take over CBS and the Vatican to take away from the old original Jewish broadcasters is now happening. Just as in Hollywood, they could take away the studios from Warner Brothers and Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, Louis Mayer, and swing them into the hands of the intelligence community. And also, I want to bring up Mr. Rupert Murdoch buying 50% of 20th Century Fox. But the article from Kansas says the CIA director, William Casey, said Wednesday he was willing to put his stock in Capital City's communication in blind trust after they reached an agreement to take over ABC Television Network. Now he'll put in a blind trust that was established in 1983, but his broadcasting was not, his interests were not in a blind trust. Capital Cities planned the merger with ABC, and that has raised questions about the propriety of the CIA director owning a large stake in one of the three major television networks. Now, if you own all the newspapers, if the CIA and the Knights of Malta own the newspapers, then the newspapers aren't even bring up this propriety. But even in Kansas City, they said, Mr. Casey's holdings in Kansas are the Kansas City Times, the Kansas City Star, and Mr. Casey withheld Capital City stock from his blind trust in 1983 because the government ethics regulations don't permit such a trust to include a holding amounting to more than 20% of the official's entire portfolio, the CIA spokesman said. The trust was set up after criticism of his stock dealings while heading the Central Intelligence Agency. His Capital City stock is worth more, his dividend shares last year of $250,000. His wife's dividends were worth $100,000 to $250,000. They received dividends up to $6,000, which would be the annual yield of 30,000 shares. The stock was trading Wednesday at $205 per share, putting a possible value of Casey's holdings as more than $6 million. The Capital City's holdings are prompting questions because the conglomerate wants the approval of its takeover of ABC, which had been a target of the CIA criticism before it was taken over about some of its reporting. The CIA had filed a formal complaint with the Federal Communications last November, remember, saying that ABC violated a fairness doctrine when they said that the CIA planned to kill a Honolulu investment counselor, that was Mr. Rewald, who revealed the spy agency was involved in his company. It was the first such complaint by the government agency against a broadcaster. The CIA filed a complaint against ABC. The Federal Communications favored with the broadcasting station. So in comes the CIA and then buys the broadcasting station so you won't get any more stories on Rewald. The article says the Federal Communication rejected that, and last month, the CIA asked the Federal Communication to take another look. The agency had charged ABC with intentional news distortion and asked that FCC consider the matter when ABC's valuable radio and TV licenses are up for renewal. Mr. Casey was one of the founders of Capital Cities Communication, and it owns newspapers, radios, televisions, and cable TV systems. He only resigned from the board in 1981. He'd been the CIA director for starting in January of 81, so he couldn't be actively on the board, but he could make decisions, and he was one of the founders of the station. Another article from Newsday in New York, March 19, 1985, a Capital acquisition. In hindsight, Capital Cities Communications has been getting involved in really big time for some years. Its acquisition of American Broadcasting will put it up there with the multi-billionaires of the communication industries, such as L.A. Times and Mr. Murphy, and the CIA is one of the big wigs of L.A. Times, plus a lot of other people, and they refer to the Gannett and Newhouse newspapers. Within its corporate girth, there are such goodies as 7 television and a dozen radio stations, a number of trade publications, 50 cable television stations, 10 newspapers, several penny savers, and even a monthly financial newsletter. All of this on the board, the founder of this was William Casey, the Knight of Malta, the protege of William Donovan, a special knight by the Vatican all of them knighted around the time that Reinhard Gehlen and James Angleton were knighted. This article goes on, Cap Cities probably enjoys the highest reputation for management among the broadcasters, the investment firm said. They were able to gobble up the bigger fish, and they will be able to run it efficiently. In revenues last year of $939 million, they had TV stations in key markets such as Philadelphia, Houston, Texas, Hartford and New Haven, Connecticut, Buffalo, New York. That's the home base of Mr. Erlinger, the top Nazi, with his South American Nazi connections with Dr. Stuart Bryan and Mrs. Edwin Meese and the investment into the biotech companies, and also Buffalo, New York, Jack Kemp from New York City, one of the most conservative congressmen. There's TV stations I'm sure get favorable play or keep these other stories off the news. Raleigh, North Carolina, Jesse Helms' backyard, Fresno, California, Tampa, Florida, you know, the various scandals and associations that have been going on wildly down in Tampa. It also owns the Fairchild Publication newspaper that puts out Women's Wear Daily for 10 daily newspapers, including the Star Telegram in Fort Worth, the Times and Star in Kansas City, the Oakland Press in Pontiac, Michigan. And the acquisition has stuck in its throat. The one acquisition that stuck in its throat was the Wilkes-Barre Times Leader, which it bought in 1978. Amid charges of union busting, the paper's employees went on strike, started a newspaper of their own, the Citizen's Voice. The union paper is now the dominant paper in town, and William Casey's newspaper was doing the union busting. Cap Cities was founded by the late Lowell Thomas. I always understood that Lowell Thomas worked with the OSS and CIA. In fact, I saved as many books as I could about his trips and explorations and so forth. Because of his background with the intelligence community, it was founded by Lowell Thomas and CIA Director William Casey. Casey sold off a lot of his interest last year and resigned as the company director when he joined the CIA. Well, he didn't sell off much if he still owns $7 million or $6 million worth. How much more did he have? But he founded this, and this story, when Capital Cities bought ABC, the New York Times' little-known company, and our CIA director founded it, and it has all of these stations and can influence so many cities around the country. And with so much printed material, how did they throw it off for the first 24 hours as little known? Then there was another story in the New York Post, March 23rd. Capital Cities Communication will sell its New Haven, Connecticut station to satisfy the federal communication regulations governing the $3.5 billion takeover of ABC. Thomas Murphy, Cap Cities chairman, explained the signal from Cap Cities New Haven overlaps with a signal of WABC flagship station there. Cap Cities has previously announced it will sell its Buffalo station to meet potential FCC objections to that. So their stations are now overlapping. And then there was another story in Newsday. CIA director wants to place his material in trust. That's similar to the Kansas City story, that he wants to put his holdings into trust. And it goes into the question of this article of his having interest in the news media and now being so much part of ABC. In quotes, the prospect of the CIA director holding an interest in one of the nation's three major television networks has raised questions. The Center of National Security director Morton Halpern, a former national security staff member in the Nixon administration, he was one of those bugged by Henry Kissinger, has commented, in quotes, a government official should not be part of the news media. But this gentleman, through Nixon and Watergate, the Nixon administration, once the Kennedys were killed and out of office and Nixon and Reagan were in, he's been part, a large part of the news media all this time. And as I say, it hasn't been in blind trust. And he not only is a part of it, but he founded it and has a huge investment. And in fact, this article says he would take his 7.5 million interest in it and put it into a blind trust. Don't you think that is a little late? And then finally, there was a story in the Register Guard from Eugene, Oregon, about William Casey's 7.5 million and how he got this started way back, and his financial disclosures with the Office of Government Ethics left out in 1984. It shows that he owned more than 250,000 worth of capital cities, the maximum range on the standardized form, but he actually owes up to $7 million, and it was not in blind trust. So that is Mr. Casey of our CIA, a Knight of Malta from the Vatican, a chief spook, and a fellow traveler, along with Mr. William Donovan, in the espionage network set up after World War II with both the Nazis and British intelligence, and holding so much in the news media, and now becoming the owner, actually, of the major amount of stock, his company buying ABC. Another article about ABC called Grand Slam from the New York Post. Donald Trump was holding the right Trump card last week when Capital Cities merged with ABC. He's one of ABC's biggest stockholders. Trump is a multimillionaire in New York City. Trump, according to our sources, will stand to make $47 million on the takeover. But the builder with the Midas touch wasn't motivated by profit in this case. He started quietly buying up ABC stock a year and a half ago after he got the New Jersey Generals franchise because he felt the network was treating the USFL badly, and the fledgling league, and it's represented by Trump's lawyer. The lawyer for that league is Roy Cohn. He had filed a $1.3 billion antitrust suit against the other NFL team, claiming it has stranglehold on network contracts. So Mr. Trump has lawyer Roy Cohn. Now, Roy Cohn is on the board of Western Goals, and William Simon, being the head of the Olympic Committee, used Western Goals and Larry McDonald, the late Larry McDonald, for computers, allegedly for violence at the time of the Olympics, but he worked very hard with that team of Admiral Moore, John Singlaub of the World Anti-Communist League, the same John Singlaub I was talking about the past 3 weeks with his links to the American Security Council, mercenary magazines, and World Anti-Communist League, and also the Western Goals connections. It's Roy Cohn on the board of Western Goals and working with the Central Intelligence Agency all of his life, and being the attorney for Mr. Trump, who started a year ago. Now, I'm sure that Mr. William Casey knew that his Capital Cities was going to get ready to buy up ABC. It would take a year to plan all that. So Mr. Trump is getting his shares and putting away $47 million. Roy Cohn is his attorney. And while William Simon, their co-worker, is offering or working to get the bucks to put up CBS, Roy Cohn and this gang are working. Mr. Trump and William Casey are all part and parcel of this activity, and now they will, I'm sure, get their favorable broadcasting for the football teams that go on every week or whatever it is. That behind these broadcasting teams are the same characters that I've been talking about in various activities of counterintelligence and links to the Vatican. Roy Cohn's partner, Mr. Boland, his law partner, is a Knight of Malta. And as I say, the power is now going to the Roman Empire, the newsprint, and it's becoming more clear all along how these various teams integrate and consolidate their power. It comes, you know, every few months, a new story comes that links them all together one more time. Now, the New York Times had a large story you can get from the libraries, March 24th, 1985, and now the media mega merger. And it talks about Capital Cities, how Time Magazine bought up, that's Time, Life, Fortune, Sports Illustrated bought up Southern Living and other regional magazines of February this year for $480 million. Gannett Publications just bought the Des Moines Register and other newspapers and made their holdings more consolidated with another $200 million. And Rupert Murdoch has just plunked in, and we'll go into that, 50% of 20th Century Fox. He really has a control to take over now if he wants from Marvin Davis. He's plunked this money down that Davis needed very badly. The New York Times story goes into the various mergers that are taking place and has a chart of the mega mergers, but it's very important to follow the cast of characters as they condense their power, who they're pushing out, and who is taking over from them. And the New York Times mentions Capital Cities was founded in 1954 by a group of businessmen who bought a UHF television station in Albany, New York. 3 years later, they bought a second TV in Durham, North Carolina, also a capital city, and the acquisition was the genesis of the company's name, Capital Cities. And it doesn't mention in the New York Times, this long, long article, a single word about William Casey that came out in the small newspapers. The New York Times didn't have a word, maybe later, but in the beginning, about Capital Cities. They described it as a company that just began in this city and then in that city, not by the man who was knighted by the Vatican or became the CIA director who worked with Robert Vesco and Fred Fielding and Richard Nixon and John Mitchell through the whole Watergate scandal, came out untouched, ran Ronald Reagan's campaign, and then became CIA director. Now, one more article just finally on this ABC stock thing, and then I want to go into the Howard Hughes connections to ABC. The exchange tunes into ABC stock. This is from the New York Daily News, that the New York Stock Exchange will read and analyze and determine if there's an investigation warranted that anybody might have profited unfairly or illegally from advanced knowledge about company developments. Now, this gentleman in New York City who owns all this property with Roy Cohn, he's Mr. New York City practically, Donald Trump. They're never going to say, when he started buying this stuff up a year and a half ago, that there's any connection. They're not going to connect Roy Cohn to the Central Intelligence Agency, to William Casey, even though he's part of their right arm since the prosecuting days of the Rosenbergs and the Alger Hiss case, the House of Un-American Activities. They won't find any connection. So what they'll look for, they're not going to scratch any surfaces, and of course it'll go through as being completely clean. Nobody gained, and ABC is now owned by the company that William Casey started in the 1950s. Now, in the book on Howard Hughes that Michael Drosnin wrote, he has a section on Howard Hughes trying to buy up ABC. And at the time, the thing that stopped Howard Hughes from buying it was that he was going to have to appear personally. The Federal Communications wanted him to appear if he had the controlling stock of ABC. Now, this was in 1968. Howard was never seen after 1966. And the story, of course, in Drosnin's book is that Hughes was thinking of taking over ABC. And it mentions his attorney, Greg Bouncer, and he called Greg Bouncer that he was nervous that he'd have to appear. The common denominator between the CIA and the Hughes organization, ABC, has been, well, there's a lot of them, but one is Greg Bouncer, who was working with the CIA and working with Hughes and is an attorney for ABC Broadcasting. There's an article reprint of the book, and I also have the book on Citizen Hughes, and it tells that Robert Mayhew, who worked for Howard Hughes, he also, as I said before, never saw Howard Hughes, was called by Howard, and said, "What will I do that they will insist that I have to appear in public?" And he wrote Mayhew's a note, "I want you to know confidentially and most accurately just how significant a position in the formulation of U.S. opinion would be afforded by the acquisition of ABC. I want you to tell me confidentially." Now, Howard Hughes, who set the world record on flying planes with speed, inventing planes, working for the government, used aircraft, Lockheed, helping instrumental in many of the technical parts of the airplane field, and also using publicity for movie promotion, he doesn't have to write a memo to Mayhew telling asking him for information on how important would it be to form U.S. opinion if I acquired ABC. The memo was written in 1968, June 30th, 68. The Democrats had been completely absorbed by the Hughes organization. John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy were dead. Martin Luther King was dead. And they had everything they wanted, and the newspapers were in the palm of their hand anyway. So he is acting, allegedly through memos that he, goodness knows who he is, Vance Cooper or the dummy people around him that were simulating the Howard Hughes memos, were making the proposition that he wanted to buy up the stock. And then ABC had a lawsuit, an injunction. And according to Michael Drosnin, Hughes was so frightened by the lawsuit that he was ready to abandon his network ambitions if they would promise to drop the litigation. And up till now, there was no issue about buying the stock, but Hughes had to appear. And there's an interesting memo where he says, he writes about ABC, and he writes to Greg Bowser, and he said, at the hearing today or tomorrow, ABC will demand my appearance. This will bring into sharp focus all the old rumors of my death, disability, etc. And therefore, if for any reason the deal fails to materialize, people will say what the reason was my unwillingness to appear. I'll continue and analyze that statement. We'll take a one-minute break and continue the second half of this program and talk about Hughes' appearance or disappearance and the takeover of ABC.